Welcome to a special CI Center podcast. Today we're going to talk about our new 560 course called Middle Eastern Intelligence Services and Terrorist Organizations. And with us today are some of the professors of this course, Claire Lopez, Brian Wiedner, and David Major. David?
Yes, I thought I'd give an explanation of how this course came to be. We've now been teaching at the CI Center for 12 years. And we've designed a number of courses in both counterintelligence and counterterrorism. Back in 1997, when we started with counterintelligence courses, this was the focus of the government, the greatest concern. Obviously, 2001 had a huge impact on the national security community. Many people were hired as a result of it, and now over 60% of the people in the intelligence community, at least the analysts, have less than have came in the government since 2001. So as this has happened, what we've tried to do at the center is always update, keep current, and keep the pulse of the intelligence and the defense community and the law enforcement community and understand what they know, what they don't know, and what their needs are. And as a result of that, one of the things that we realize is that the interest of both the Middle East, how it was formed, how it was established, when it was established, and what the intelligence services of the key nations there are not understood. Most people kept saying, can you tell me something about the Middle East? Can you teach me something about the Israeli intelligence service in its conflict with Saudi Arabia? I know nothing about the Saudi Arabian intelligence service, and Iran is a mystery to me. And we kept hearing this. And so what we decided to do was put together a course that we think is absolutely tailor-made and almost a requirement for any warfighter or intelligence expert that has to deal in any way with the Middle East. That if you're going to work in that AO, that area of operation, whether you do it domestically or overseas, you must have a rich, deep understanding of the Middle East and how it's evolved to where it is today. So this five-day course was designed to do that, and both Claire, you as an Iranian expert and a person who's been studying the Middle East now extensively, and Brian, yourself, of studying the Saudi Arabian Peninsula and operating against it, bring great expertise. And it was actually the two of you joining us as professors that emboldened me to do something that I've been wanting to do for a number of years. A few years back, we designed a course on the Israeli Intelligence Service, and it has been received with rave reviews. People know nothing about Israel and don't know how it was formed and don't know how they fight a war and how their intelligence service is fighting a war. So we put together a two-day course that talks about that. What we've done is we've combined that course, modified it, and stretched this out to a five-day course, or I should say, taking a lot of information and compressed it into a five-day course. The course in 5 days starts off with an overview of the Middle East. What was the role of the Middle Eastern countries? Where did they come from? When were they formed? Why were they established? What is the history of both the tribes and the countries in the area, recognizing that most were carved out of the sand after the Ottoman Empire was defeated in World War I, so this long history is not there of nation states in the Middle East. We talk about that. We talk about the effort on the part of the French and the British to try to create and still overlord in these areas, and how that didn't work and how they were attacked during the same way that things are going on today. And so we talk about that, and then we talk about the focal point of conflict in the Middle East, but not the only focal point, and that is Israel. So few people understand that. So we talk about its role in the Middle East and how its intelligence services operate. We then go on from there, and we talk about the Iraqi intelligence service, which we now know an awful lot about since Iraq was invaded by the United States and liberated in 2003, and a lot of espionage cases have been uncovered as a result of that. It gives us a sense of what that service was doing and how they were operating. And we also, on the third day, talk about Saudi Arabia, which is something known by very few people. And then we close up with a in-depth discussion of Iran, which is a future problem for all of us, and their support, and one very dangerous intelligence service or terrorist organization operating there, and that is Hezbollah. So that's what we try to compress into 5 days. So after we talk about the Middle East, the role of Islam in the Middle East and Israel, we then turn to you, Brian, talking about Iraq and Saudi Arabia. If you can make some comments about those two services and your thoughts on that.
Well, Thank you. And that the I think the greatest comment to make about Iraq's intelligence service is that we look at the confusion, the conflict, the massive amount of efforts being spent by the United States government in Iraq today to develop, basically install peace, so it's a democracy. This, although there was no democracy, there was a level of non-conflict among these groups under Saddam, under his internal services, and that should be an indication to the degree of effectiveness as well as brutality that they were willing to utilize to maintain the regime. Within the United States, having had experience in working against this target for some period of time, we look at it divided between pre-Gulf War 1991 and then post-Gulf War until 2003. Prior to 1991, the number of diplomats in the United States and the amount of activities was just phenomenal. Probably, if we had to list the top five active services in the United States, the Iraqis would have been up there. Saudi Arabia has become an increasingly more important player in the Middle East over the past, since 1973, but more so since the first Gulf War. Their intelligence services have domestically a reputation for being very aggressive and utilizing whatever tactics necessary to enforce a homogeny. And in fact, they do have one service whose only job is the prevention of vice, specifically to ensure that Sharia law is well maintained inside the country. But externally too, especially after the events of 9/11, the Saudi government recognizes that they could probably not stand another event like that, especially to their biggest protector, the United States, and they have increased their external intelligence operations manyfold in order to monitor what their own people are doing externally, because the only thing worse than in a successful terrorist attack by Saudi citizens would be one that was attempted and failed and that they weren't able to prevent and becomes another public relations nightmare. Both of those would be very damaging to that country.
Claire, you're going to talk and spend a lot of time, you have spent a lot of time studying Iran and its relationship with Hezbollah. How would you characterize this particular course and your overview of the Iranian intelligence services?
Well, I especially am happy to be able to put together this course about Iran's intelligence and security service, the MOIS, or VEVAK in Farsi, Vizarat-e-Talat Va-Amniyat-e-Kashfar. And that is because the service is not only active within the country of Iran in order to maintain the theocracy, the mullahs in power, it is also extremely active right here in the United States and elsewhere around the world in order to project its influence and to influence the activities and the decisions and the strategy of our governments. So what I want to do a little bit with this course is to describe, first of all, the nature of Iran's regime, a theocracy which came to power by a coup d'etat in 1979, and the role that intelligence and security services now play since that time in Iran's society. We'll look a little bit at history and where the services came from. Obviously, under the Shah, there was an extremely efficient and brutal intelligence service known as SAVAK at that time. So we'll look at a little bit of the history of Iran's intelligence services, but we're going to focus more on the current regime since 1979 to the present. We're going to talk about the ideology of that regime and how the security services are tasked with preserving and projecting that ideology. We'll talk about the imperative of spreading that ideology, not just throughout Iranian society itself, but throughout the Middle East region. Then we'll talk about the means that this intelligence service uses to project its influence, And these include lessons well learned from other isms of the 20th century, and that is communism, fascism, Nazism. There are extremely strong influences that flowed from those ideologies into the ideology of Iran's current regime, and also, very practically speaking, the tactics of those regimes, the tactics of the KGB, the tactics of Nazi Germany were learned and passed on to the security service that is the MOIS today. We'll talk about their role in assassination campaigns of dissidents abroad. We'll talk about the suppression of dissidents both at home and abroad. They have reached into Europe, they've reached into the United States to monitor as well as to assassinate those dissidents. And finally, what we'll do is finish off the one-day course about Iran's intelligence services with a series of case studies. And we're going to look at the MOIS role in the Buenos Aires attacks of 1992 and 1994, the role of the MOIS in the Hezbollah War of 2006. Obviously, Hezbollah is a creature entirely of the Iranian regime, and in fact, the Secretary General Nasrallah openly admits that his chain of command goes directly to the Supreme Leader today, Ayatollah Khamenei. We'll look at a case study of how the MOIS has operated inside of Iraq and how it has infiltrated that society and tried to ensure that its democracy is never born. We'll look at the MOIS role versus the most capable, the oldest, and probably the most dedicated of all of Iran's opposition groups, that is the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, and how the MOIS operates against them both in the near Middle East region and abroad into our own country as well. And finally, we'll look at the MOIS role in Iran's nuclear weapons program. Again, we're talking about denial and deceit. We're talking about how to mislead, obfuscate the facts, and preserve the clandestinity of Iran's nuclear weapons program. So those will be the main topics with regard specifically to the MOIS, and then we'll look at how that organization helped to found and directs to this day in a very direct and hands-on way the Hezbollah, a terrorist group, and how Iran projects its influence basically to the Mediterranean Sea by having a proxy terrorist group that operates in southern Lebanon, throughout Lebanon really, and in Syria as well, and now is projecting its influence down into the territory. So that will be the connection and the relationship between the MOIS and Hezbollah.
Brian and Claire, thank you very much. You know, I've heard each of you speak about this, and every time I sit in the classroom and I listen to the other courses we give, I keep saying everybody who has to deal with this problem must hear this, because most people haven't heard it. And I'm always amazed at the look on people's eyes when they finally understand something that no one's ever talked to them about. I mean, I dare say there's a handful of people who understand Saudi Arabia and the threat it represents from an intelligence perspective and how it operates. And you made a comment about, oh, yeah, Iran is still out there conducting assassinations in the West. And most people I talk to are completely uninformed about that reality. So this particular course really cobbles together the kinds of information that anybody who has this as an area of operation, whether you do it in, from North America and Canada and the United States, or you're actually, you have to go to the Middle Eastern area, I don't know how you do that without having this as a basis of operation. If not, you're so uninformed or ill-informed that you make yourself very vulnerable to what's going on. So I hope that individuals will find it a way to attend this particular course, because I think it'll really help them in their day-to-day operations. And like I say, I've heard both of you talk about it, and it really makes people wake up to the reality that we face once again, so many threats that we have to deal with in America, and so little knowledge and so much information and so little time to learn it. So 560 is an excellent course. It's a good opportunity to get a deep, rich understanding of that. And as I said, very good for anybody who that's their area of operation. Thank you very much. And I hope that you will look on our webpage of the other material that relates to this particular course. And I hope the day will come when you will be in the classroom as we spend time talking about these issues.
If you'd like more information about the 560, Middle Eastern Intelligence Services, and terrorist organizations, please call us at 1-800-779-4007 or go to our website, cicenter.com. That's CICENTRE.com.